Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
This. I was 16 and young, and look at the effect it's had. Right, it's Red News Podcast 215, and I'm joined by two lovely readers from Nashville, and your names are?
Sue.
And Joe.
Joe, and my first thing was to get straight to the point and ask what the music scene's like in Nashville, and you said...
Everybody there has talent. You can just go walk into any place and sit down and listen, and you're going to get a really good show, and all you have to do is get a pint and enjoy yourself, and you don't have to worry about... Is this person going to sound good? Are they going to play the songs that I like? You get it all.
And is Dollywood as good as I'd imagine?
Dollywood, yes. Yes. And the food there is really good. Yeah, they have one of the best restaurants for home cooking that a amusement park would have. If you want to go there and get some
Oh, can I? Why is Nashville the home of music, you know?
I think it goes back to the history there with Dolly Parton, going all the way back to Johnny Cash, and... So many of those artists grew up playing music in church, and they have taken that talent from their church upbringing, crossing over into so many different venues and genres of music. So
the film Elvis, I have to say, because that's sort of
right. So Graceland is in Memphis.
About
3 hours west of Nashville.
But we'd better talk Manchester United. I could talk music all day. So have you come over specifically for here, or is this just part of the trip?
This is just part of the trip. In 2015, myself and my son were here for the first time.
Great.
And when he had an opportunity to book a trip again to meet some mates, we decided that the whole family should come. So we spent the entire week in London, Scotland, and finishing up here.
Oh, brilliant. Where's your son then? In the pub?
He's with his friends.
He's in the pub with his mates, probably. Maybe down the road to Sam Platt's.
At what age do your kids disown you? Mine's only 8. What time do they... What age do they want to be on their own?
We have
late
a really...
20s.
Yeah. And we have a really close-knit family, so... You know, it's taken him a while to go, okay, I want to do this on my own. Yeah.
So how's it feel returning here in 9 years?
The area is vastly different than what I remembered. It looks like there's been a lot of expansion, some new construction. We're staying in Stretford versus in downtown Manchester where we stayed before, so we get more of the cultural feel and more of that localized effect, staying here more locally for a couple days.
Yeah. But, I love that we see that. Everybody's walking on the streets when we were walking over from Stretford, and the kids were playing. There's some kind of courtyard, and they're playing basketball, and I was like, oh my gosh, we don't get that so much anymore where we are.
It's not like, I'm a big wall. Fan of walking.
Yeah.
See, we're talking everything.
Awesome. Right.
And regardless of what people say about, you know, the stadium that's, you know, right behind you.
Well, what do you think?
It's still so iconic. The amount of history that has happened in that building. And yes, it's been, you know, neglected for many, many years. But I think we're on the up with, you know, the new ownership. Whether it be minority, there's still an opportunity to, you know, reinvest and possibly, you know, improve what we're looking at now.
Is that what you'd rather then, to stay here?
I am such a traditionalist when it comes to music and sport and what have you. There's so much value in that building and so much history, and it would be a shame to see it all go away. Is there a way that you could keep the original structure and the history there with the pitch and, you know, kind of rebuild around? You know, I don't know. I'm not an architect, but it would be a shame to level it and start all over.
This is good plug for the next mag. I've hummed and hawed internally, and then next issue I've written my thoughts on it. But everyone's going to have different things.
Sure.
What's your take? Because we've been against the Glazers since the start. What's your take from Nashville?
So, being an American and knowing that family and the history, from day one, it's been just really disturbing how they, I mean, truthfully, manipulated the law that was here. In 2024, you couldn't do what they did back in 2005. It's now against the law. And for greed to be your number one driver is really shameful, because they've stripped so much from this club. And most importantly, you know, the fans have, you know, been united for the most part in their beliefs on here's what should be done, and, you know, their feeling towards you know, what that whole entire family has done.
That's lovely to hear, because we've got a lot of American readers. We've got a couple who've written for future mags, so there's not a level of ignorance. I was never going to suggest, but it's nice to hear that transcends. Do you agree?
Yes, yeah. I do, yes.
It's like that. He's a canny individual, Ratcliffe, and we're going to call him out like we do every owner in the fanzines, but that his visible presence in a week has trumped what they've done in decades.
Yeah, and over coffee this morning, I watched that 27-minute interview that he had, and, you know, that was more interaction than we've seen from the ownership group in, you know, the last 19 years.
Yeah, I'm going to get onto that with the sellers, but I'm going to ask you, Eric, stay, go, where do you feel about the team this season?
I think a manager needs time, and, you know, to rush any sort of judgment over a season and a half, in my opinion, would be rash. He inherited a squad that has been mismanaged for 13 years without any sort of true football guidance. And so now that we're starting to see that into place with Omar Barada and...
hopefully the gardening man.
Yes, the gardening man. There you go, from Newcastle. Well, with a, you know, football strategy in place and making football the priority versus
wouldn't
profit.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, what a novel concept to have a football strategy for a football club.
It's like, I'm usually in the gutter, but my mates, hiya mate, that's £4.
Call it 5 minutes.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for that. My mates who've had better equipped lives than me, I've got a couple who've been on gardening leave, and they've never been on gardening leave. They've ransacked every orifice of their offices.
Absolutely.
And then pretended, yes, I'm in the garden, while stitching their old company up. So
true.
Not that Dan Ashcraft would do that. Right, so I'm going to ask for your predictions.
I'm going to say, with the latest injury news that we heard yesterday, 2-1 United.
No, we'll take that.
I will say, just to combat you a little bit, I'll do the same spread, but I'll go 3-2.
Oh, I'll take any kind of win today. Wednesday's the biggie for me because of the FA Cup. I want the FA Cup, but not again. So, lovely. I'm going to sound a hug. That was really kind
Cheers,
of you.
Cheers, thank you
nice
very much.
Nice meeting you. And I hope if ever I get to Nashville, get in touch with the mag if you can.
I will.
That would be lovely.
I'll take one.
Oh. I'm not trying to do a scouser. See ya. Hello, Nathan. That was lovely. So from Nashville. So we just started talking. So I thought maybe that was very articulated views. So how are you, mate?
I'm all right. Lovely sunshine.
It is. It's cold, but it's sun. Don't mind, Bunny. Don't mind me.
It's not cold.
Right, got lots
days and days ago, I put in our little group.
It is cold. I was freezing at 6 o'clock this morning.
The weather forecast, and it was sunshine, and you and Nick didn't believe me.
Nick? Well, yeah. But I was freezing at 6 o'clock this morning. I've got lots of things... Phil, you're on the podcast. What are you?
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go.
what?
On the posh wine, are we? Think of us little plebs here.
Do you want me to? We're only up there. Throw a bit out here.
Yes, please. Food. Yeah, I'll take anything.
What's going on here? There's so many people.
You're.
Oh, lucky stay.
Lee wants to appear on the podcast, doesn't he? Right, see you, Phil. I've got lots to cover here before I get to you. But it was cold at 6 o'clock. But don't mind, Barney. Fucking hell. I'll tell you what, the winter, it's not even been really cold, but it really gets me down. And it's like dragged on, and I'm just, within touching distance, see better weather.
It's almost
weather.
As if you've never been through a winter before, isn't it?
I tell you what, it's an old age thing, that they just seem fucking hard at work. And it's just rained and rained and rained. Right, so I'm going to do lots of, my last dad stuff point I'm going to make, a word of advice to myself, is the things that you worry about in the present, if you look back like 5 years ago, oh, I was really anxious, I worried about that, it's immaterial, so you don't realise at the time.
Do you mean like the weather?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, you know, like big things you think are important. That's what I'd try and tell a younger self. Right, I've written notes and I can't even read them. Oh, I'll tell you what winds me up is when I'm buying something or having to pay a bill, and then you have to put in your card details, and then it says which country you're paying the card from. And United Kingdom, this is going Boris here, but United Kingdom's all the way down. You think they'd have a system knowing which country that you're paying this from?
Have you ever heard of
alphabetical order.
Yes, but why couldn't they know if you're paying the bill in the
Move
United
to
Kingdom?
Albania.
But
if you
what
want
is
to
more annoying is it says then it will get you go to United Kingdom and it will go, oh, United Kingdom. No, it's not United Kingdom. They want Great Britain or then they want England. Just put the country that you're paying the bill from at the top. And I'd use that for any country that you were paying a bill. If you were in Albania, they'd have that. Well, Albania would be at the top.
That's what
I'm All right, okay. Right. Shane said he reckons sliders are to blame for our injury crisis. I'm not having that, you new order freak. Right, so we're going to Ratcliffe, and I'm going to quit because I'm not here after. I'm off the beer, boring bastard. So Nathan's going to take over after. But I've got a lot to cover, and there'll be a drunken one. This is a sober one. But the Ratcliffe stuff, very encouraging. We're a fanzine, so we are going to keep calling him out. But what I will say is, it's not unobvious he's doing all these things as a deliberate, you know. But you cannot help but watch those videos and think, yes, this is a man with a plan. They're being dynamic where we've been dogmatic. This is very, very encouraging. There were a couple of asides. I'm going to air my views about the ground in the mag because I've thought long and hard about this. That's the next mag. The Glazer thing. We know there is a pathway, but it wasn't explained, and it was quite a bit ambiguous. Mm. And then he put, you know, we don't want to get the file in the drawer that if it got to loggerheads. And I just thought it was a bit of uneasiness that I was expecting, and hopefully it may come in the next, I was expecting more of a pathway to explaining how you're going to buy the fuckers out. And it was more on how his relationship's going to work.
The thing is, you know, like I watched it, and, you know, I put in the group as I listened to it on the BBC podcast when they put it out. And I said, you know, it could all be bollocks, couldn't it? It could all be bollocks, but there was one thing that... And he's obviously a very wily man. He has to be in the position he's in now. But, like, when he said about, you know, he grew up in Failsworth, like, you know, he was a United fan and all this that we've heard. And then, but there was one line, and whether he meant it or not, and he was like about his parents both being United fans, and now he said he wishes his mum and dad had been here to see this moment where he now is part owner, he owns the most shares as a single person. And I thought that was really nice, like, you know, and, you know, maybe he's just doing me over by chatting shit, but I liked that. But I agree about the Glazer stuff, because I think, you know, if we do go on and kick on, it gives them even reason not to leave. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we'll end up making more money again. And, like, why, you know, if they're willing to stick around for 20 years with us not doing very well but making money, why would they leave?
No, I get that.
If we're doing well and making even more money. So I agree with you that it was quite vague.
But if there was this pathway in 18... I don't get... And he was specifically asked in a couple of times. Yeah. It just... that, you know, we've covered this. There's good billionaires.
No.
But that you hope that he's the better type of bastard billionaire than the other type of bastard. And not a state for me.
I think one thing is, it was just nice seeing someone who is in some sort of control of the club talking about aspirations and wanting to do stuff. Like, they've been in charge for almost 20 years and have never come out and said anything. And it that, like, even, like I say, even if it's bollocks and even if it doesn't work out, it's nice to see someone talking and wanting to seem like,
you know, like, and how and, that, and we know they've earned their money through greed and stitching family members up, but you think how you know, like, how could you not run a football club like that? How could you not have a football structure?
I think we have to go into this all positively, because it couldn't be any worse.
No.
You know, do you know what I mean? Like he says about wanting to bring the best people in, and the wanting to bring the guy from Newcastle in, and all these people. I cannot understand. I cannot see a way that it could get worse. It has to get better.
Yeah, I was encouraged, and if you're encouraged, then we're fine.
I only jumped in the river. In the group before, like, maybe this is me being too encouraged, but Ben put something in the group before about longing to hear us sing Champions again, and I said, give it 5 years. You never know.
No, and they're doing the right thing. Again,
because, like he said,
this,
give patience, and there has to be patience.
I'll tell you what,
because of FFP and stuff, and because of the situation we're in, because of bad management, it's going to take a few years to get through that. So, yeah, why not? Why not?
Like, the cautionary optimism, the 25% is there. I just thought, sad about the waste, the wasted money, the wasted years, the loss of good reds, also unnecessary from these bastards. But let's go with this. What he said, you know, like, you don't need to be commercial being the priority, because that would come from the football being. We've been saying that for fucking years.
It's an absolute
non-brainer.
Think of how much money that the Glazers make already with us being shit. Imagine how much more they'd make otherwise.
I will say, Luke Shaw's injury.
Can I just one more thing?
Yeah.
The one thing that does trouble me, obviously being a staunch lefty and all that, is obviously there's the greenwashing sort of thing, but the fact that he's essentially wanting the taxpayer to pay for a new stadium when he doesn't pay tax himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's...
I know he
came out and rebuffed that by saying, well, I paid tax for 65 years.
We've had
him
make some of the fracking and the pollutant accusations are horrible.
You have to look at that as well.
And, you know, I will say it's way above my pay grade where they are trying to go carbon neutral, and then I get totally flummoxed.
Yeah.
But it's like, we'll hold the bastards to account. But I will say, there was Luke Shaw is so medically challenged now that one of our group believed the rumour when someone put it, he's out with gout.
We don't have to mention who.
We don't have to mention. But there's a couple of things. We'll get onto this on the last bit. But because of the medics, we were told, and we hinted about it in gossip, that Ineos had already flagged up the medical and data and sciences, and they've already two departures. There's going to be more departures because this is, I know there's a World Cup to blame, you know, but the Hoyland's one, and Eric said about training intensity, there's something off, because I know every team's been having injuries, but there is, so they're getting to work on that, and they are getting to work straight
away.
That's
what I mean, and like, you know, we say Brailsford's not, like, the marginal gains thing, and it is things like that, and like, that's what I mean. I can't see it being any worse. It's going to get better.
And the Hoyland injury, you know, what we said is when he gets injured, he arrived injured, you know, like, how we didn't get that extra legs as a striker, hopefully doesn't bite us when we need it the most.
Yeah.
Please get the FA Cup. But I will say, you know, it's not a dig on Hoyland. He's worked his bollocks off. But we knew, you know, like, and almost there was a moment where I thought, Mason Mount is still a Manchester United player. Like, you double take thinking, oh, I wake up, Mason Mount is here. The thing I will call, and then I'll get to this, is, I know it's Custis, but Ten Hag called Custis naive yesterday in the press conference when he said about, you know, you were really relying on Martial, and for once, Custis was right. Because what I'll say is, he said, you know, like, oh, well, Eric went, we had three strikers, so there were opportunities, and if we, you know, if we'd got another striker, it'd be less for them. But I thought, we knew 6 years ago that he was a busted flush. And what really worried me is he knows this isn't true. That Eric said yesterday, last season, Martial did great things for us. We played our best football last year with Martial as a striker. And then he cuts the chase. He's also on high payment in this club. So when you bring another one in, you strike him out. But I thought, yeah, you cut to the chase's wages. But he scored 9 goals in 28 appearances last season and only 6 in 21. So we didn't play our best football. Getting to the thing of Ratcliffe, you don't need to be a rocket scientist. He was not giving huge votes of confidence to Eric. And I have heard a lad at United text me saying it didn't particularly go down well, that the COE, Manning Ratcliffe, will choose a style of football to impose on a manager. I maintain that I want to see Eric get a fit squad, get the structure and see what he can do. But I really don't think he's going
to
last.
Well, we've said this, haven't we?
We think they want to bring their own person in,
and like we've said for a while, will it be Potter? But especially with this, you know, there's the Brighton link with what's his name, and I put in the group the other day, I think the worrying thing will be, and I know we've said that, you know, people are questioning Ten Hag at times to do a style play, blah blah blah, but if we were, like I put in the group dinner the other day, if we were to get Champions League and or win the FA Cup and then sack him off to bring in their man, whoever comes in is going to be, you know, that's going to be a rough start for them, because Eric is popular. And if you sack him off and bring someone else in, that guy's going to have to kick off really well. or there's going to be people on his back straight away.
I think it has changed a bit in the crowd. I don't know. I did think, like, reflecting on last week's podcast, I haven't liked the Rashford stuff, you know, the use of the word hate. And I've not really gelled with that. No. I thought it's too strong. Nothing better than Rashford showing us our arses today and putting in a stormer, but I don't think it's happened.
Is, I don't think
but I do
happen.
Think the term, you know, we had it with Rooney. It was, I mentioned Rio. We have had these periods where you fall out, and I get it, but I don't think you have to fall out this dramatically.
Rooney
with
gets more had more credit in the bank.
Well, that's what I mean. Rooney was world class, and people still didn't ever forgive him. But I just think sometimes it all goes a bit much. Well, whenever you say Potter, not you, everyone, I always think Harry Potter.
If you misty.
Yeah, one pistay there. Do you think we're going to get Champions League now we've gone on this little run? I had a little flirtation with it in my head.
I did until the Hoyland thing, and I know it might only be 2 or 3 weeks, but I think that might make a difference. So, you know, I do think, like you say about, I feel sorry for him because, like, he's been on such a good run, and obviously maybe he's got injured because he's played so much, and like you say, we've not had any other options. But
do you put it down to sliders?
I'd not thought about that, but
why
you know.
Are you looking at their feet, Shane? Do you reckon anyone would pay us to send feet pictures?
I think the worrying thing is
do you think anyone would send?
No.
No. There must be one oddball who Barney Chilton's feet.
You can try it if you want.
I would sell my pictures of my feet for a fiver.
Do I think we'll get the Champions League?
Sorry.
Not if there isn't top five.
And we're relying on Arsenal and them to do better.
And then that's horrible in itself, isn't it?
Why are we in this? Why can't we shape fucking destinies anymore?
I still feel there's
a buzz around. You want that to spread. Yeah. And I get they've said it. That was what Ratcliffe and Brailsford, and like Ratcliffe went down really well, as we've got in the mag, please buy the mag, that Brailsford was a bit, you know, like TED Talk. But they did say we want to channel the energy so everyone feels it in the club. Mm-hmm. And it can be contagious, confident.
Yeah, that was one thing in the interview where Ratcliffe sort of insinuated that the current up in form was somehow linked to that announcement a few months ago. And it's like, I'm not sure about that, to be honest. But yeah, I think we'll win today. I do. What are your thoughts on this ticket trial thing? Because obviously that's
another
me today.
So there's a trial on the app, and I do think, as a dinosaur, just, you know, still wants paper tickets, I find it just another challenge to go to the football. It's like, why do they have to make things difficult? You know, like, so you've got the app, you've got to not use your normal ticket, you've got to use the app to get the ticket, and also they've sent out emails saying we know what app version of the app you've got, and it's all very big brother. And it's just like, and we know what it's all. The bottom line is it's to get more money in for our memberships, and which Duncan's written the article about next mag, and it's like, do you really? And what to beat this drum, I've had an older red walk past who's caring about, and I said he's not had the email. Update the email. You don't need to attend 17 out of 19 personally. Send that out to reassure, because he was really worried. And I'm tired. You know, it shouldn't be us having to do this and informing. You're a Manchester United. You tell the communications every week, you know, sending us pointless things. Send one that really matters and reassure people. And I just, like, it feels tiring. Just, it's hard enough to get into a fucking football match these days. Don't make it even harder. Hello.
Hiya, Barney.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I found it confusing. I'd already got my ticket, added it to the wallet, and then I got my email later.
Oh,
and
so
I thought,
you're actually affected as well?
Yeah, so then I got the email, and I was thinking, does that apply to me because it's already in my wallet? And I thought, surely they must know who's already downloaded it and got the ticket versus those that don't. So then I downloaded the app because I don't normally have it. And then I was just confused, so I've just got it in my wallet and abandoned the app.
There's definitely going to be people who are going to turn up today not realising.
Yeah, not realising.
But there's people who every game, there's people who get stuck at the ticket office whose QR code hasn't worked but should be working. Mm-hmm. And they miss, you know, like, and it's like, oh, God. But it's a world that I don't feel particularly encouraged about. You can say, like, you know, photos of feet, and then next thing you look on Amazon and they'll have photos of feet, and it's like, how the fuck have they heard that fucker? He's like, no one wants to listen to us apart from you lot. Anyway, what's the score? I'm going, right, what's you said?
2-0. 2-1.
Finley,
thanks for selling today. Do you like selling?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that attitude. I'm going to go, sorry, 1-1. Sorry. I'm still not out of the woods in my United mojo, but there is better time. I'm hopeful. I'm carried along with the hope. What do you make of Ratcliffe this week?
He's saying all the right things, isn't he? He's saying what we want to hear, but he's bound to be surrounded by the world's best PR agents. Ultimately, it'll boil down to what actually happens, won't it? But what I've seen, impressed.
Paddy Arvison's in the background, who used to be the PR here, who I had a pint with about 20, 30 years ago in the Circus Tavern. And he was so big, he's about 6 foot seven.
He must have filled it.
Yeah, it's like, you can't even fit in it. Anyway, right, that's it. Cheers to the regiment, everyone. And Nathan's going to do the pod after, so thanks
a happy
all.
One a after happy. We've won.
All right, I hope you're right. I want to see that photo. So Nick's finally joined us, a bit late again. Because he got a cab, because he had a few mags to bring, and it made him queasy. He got car sick at the grand old age of 38.
38?
No, I'm joking. And you had a swingers reunion from your couple's trip where you had never met the bloke from a year ago.
It's
a year ago we
set
the piece on the podcast. How are you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm okay. Now I'm out of that car. Yeah, I feel better. Made my tummy go a little bit. That
what
you know,
was he
he's
going
in and out of
though?
Just in and out of lanes, weaving around, till I'm into a shortcut, and then decided to drive through the centre of Manchester like a genius. I'm all right.
What was your mojo?
Was all right until I seen obviously there's no Rasmus, and that my head went a little bit about that. Form's been great.
Dare I reignite, because I've mentioned it in the bit we did previous, but did you see Eric's bizarre thing on Martial? That we played our best football last season with Martial.
Oh my God.
I know, it's really odd. It's a really odd segment.
That is very odd. Is he almost trying to play for like a new contract?
In Eric we trust, but sometimes I do have the odd waddle. Well, 18 months is too early. So what have you made of Ratcliffe and that?
It's hard
still
to say.
Angry about him going to Chelsea.
Yeah, that still really pisses me off. Like, he's not a real red. I'm not buying because
but Nathan loved the family references. So
yeah, but talk's cheap though, isn't it? Really, I mean, it's all going to be proof is in the pudding, isn't it? As we say when we do it. I still think that I don't really get all this talk about redeveloping Old Trafford and things. I think we're going to get a new stadium. It's all about his legacy, isn't it? And you're not going to get a legacy by, you know, painting a few walls and stuff like that. You get a legacy by building a stadium. You know, it makes more sense for financial fair play. So I think realistically, that's the only thing I've gathered from anything that he said
so
far.
Read the next editorial with my heartfelt piece on what I think. But, let's not kid ourselves. The whole area gets regeneration, let's be honest. Some parts of it really do, and the pros to that. But there's also a lot of profit to be made in that. So he's not, you know, like, I know he said, I've made my money from Petro, and I've laughed at that. You know, I'm not in it for profit, as if, oh yes, the hell the Petro polluter. But there's a lot of money, you know, that Ineos and that can make. So that's the caution. But I am encouraged. You know, we needed something, and he's giving us that.
Yeah.
So let's see. The proof is of us.
Without sporting director, should we? So, you know, that's obviously the simple start, is that, you know, he's making the simple moves that we should
be
making.
Very early on, though. Not like sitting on Joel Glazer's desk for fucking 3 years to sign off a desk for Jose.
You want the fans on side quickly, though, with it, don't you?
Yeah,
because it can easily turn ugly. So it's got to be on the ball about it. And it's been that bad. If everybody knows what the issues are, that doing something so basic as employing a director of football gets everybody excited. I mean, that's how low the bar's been. It is, though, isn't it? It's true. Laugh, but it's true. That's how low the bar's been, that you get excited over just about anything. I do think that they do need to make sure that Old Trafford stays in the same spot, though. You know, in terms of, like, because obviously they'll probably knock it down, but keep the pitch in the same location and build a youth team game. I think that would be a great site for it, you know, because people are talking about how there must be babes to play there and all the rest of it, and they don't want to lose that. And I think if they kept that as a training ground there and then redeveloped it and had the stadium over there, I think that'd look great. I think I'm fully on board with
it. I'm not going to comment until people have read the mag. That's my take my ball, and then, because I've put a lot of effort into this and gone through the history books and that. I just hope that we'll take a corner properly in a set piece. You see, like, there was that detail, you know, that Arsenal have got the set piece bloke and they've scored something phenomenal, like 15 goals this season, and the tactics where they, you know, they foul on the thing. And you think, we have it where they just look at each other and go, should we go short? And then it's closed down
just
in seconds. So take a corner would be a good start in this revolution. What are you thinking today?
Well, I put 2-0 down on the Super 6, but I'd like to change that now. We've got no Shaw, no Martinez and no Hoyland, and I think that we might get beat today.
Oh dear, I've gone 1-0, so we can't. But then I fucked that up last time. Hi, yeah, you're right. Thank you. What do you think today will be? Sorry to put you on the spot. Confident?
Well, Rasmus is out injured, it's going to be tough. Still think we can do it.
Right, okay, give us a score.
3-1.
And what's your name?
Fiona.
Thank you, Fiona. That's kind. And then there's, sorry, it's changed. 4 and then 6. I'll get the coin out. Thanks very much for that. Take care. Right. I hate saying we're not going to win.
No, so do I, but I just think those are the ones that have been
Wednesday's so big. I want to fucking. Please. All right. Have you got anything else, Ted? You don't know if you're going to the pub, do you? Mine's a really boring. Non-booze bastard day.
So mine as well. This is a really.
So I don't know what to do.
We finally moan that we want a Saturday 3 p.m. We get one and then don't take.
I've been really sensible this year. It's very healthy, but it's fucking dust.
Yeah, it's very depressing, isn't it? The next few weeks.
And thanks again. I'm not going to, you know, but Albert's like the difference in sleep now. There's no wheeze and all that. So that puts everything into perspective. And. All right, everyone. That's it.
For the now.
The after. Well, I'm not going to comment after. You're next. Hear me. I think we might do one to preview the next mag, and after we've beaten City 5-0 and pissed on their parade, they're like, we could impact the title race because we play all three. Let's not.
We can impact it when all of them get points against
Don't
us.
Fucking start.
That's not going to impact.
Oh, okay. All right, everyone. I hope you're all right anyway as well. Okay. And support the mag. The campaign is imminent. So we'd really, if you've never subscribed, if you've never bought, to the 10 patrons, I was going to mention them, but I couldn't find the list of the names. To everyone who supports the mag, thank you. So please do. Want another year of this if we can. And that's what I meant. So everyone, but if you've never, like, now's your time when the campaign starts. And I can't say, the next mag might be only out for the one game, which will be awful for us. And then get that, then get the April one with the Teddy interview. All right, cheers, everyone.
That's what happens.
Nick's just said sun's out, sell out. We've sold out the mag. It feels very unusual. I don't know what to do with half an hour spare. So thank you. That's absolutely incredible. Tony, you're on the podcast. No, come on. I want a prediction.
1-0.
Right. Us, I hope.
Maybe.
Everything all right?
Yeah.
74-75 season.
Beaten 1-0, anyway.
Was it as bad as... bad was.
Do you mean 74-75?
The relegation.
Sorry,
73-74. Get my dates right, Barney.
Yeah, but the difference then was you just presumed they wouldn't get relegated.
Did you not think that at
no,
all?
When did I think it? After they played City. You just presumed that something would happen and they'd stay up and they'd be all right.
It's 50 years, so were you on the pitch?
I wasn't on the pitch.
Oh,
no,
that's a well behaved.
No, I was in K-stand. all well behaved in K-stand.
Right, and then what was your moment of a doom-ridden season? Because it's the 50 years, so I'm trying to...
Well, there were so many bad... We never started playing until about March in that season. They were all really bad. City was obviously really
bad. Did you
bad
always play. Have faith in the Dock? Or were you at times...
I didn't know.
No.
No, as most people didn't know.
Did you believe him in 76 when he said, we'll be back the following year? Oh, you did?
Yeah, because that 75-76 season is probably the season I've most enjoyed ever, what? Before or
and
since.
Who was your favourite Dock player?
Well, Jimmy Greenough, really, but maybe Jerry Daly before him.
Great. Thank you. You're right. See you later.
Cheers, Barney.
See ya.
That was in Cape Verde, by the way.
It's all right for some. Thanks to everyone. Really kind that we asked for your support and you're giving us it. 2 points of order. Nick said there's a really nice pub in Prestwich you must come that you went to last night. And then he said, my missus had a bad dodgy pint and is feeling ill. She's like, you want me to come to
it's
a pub and
pub.
Start streaming
it's
the pint
the
out of my
pub.
Arse for entertainment, do you? And then another thing, places. You met a Fenerbahce hooligan on your trip to Istanbul. Who's, go on.
I just come back from Istanbul and went over to the Asian side, you know, like on a little day trip and walked down to Fenerbahce's ground just to have a look at it, because I love spoiling my missus when we're on holiday.
You take her to literally.
Some of the best. Yeah, around there's lovely. But anyway, come back into the centre. It's about a 15-minute walk, and we went into this restaurant, and the waiter comes over and starts chatting, and he's, you know, goes, where are you from? Manchester, Manchester United, and you do that whole thing. And he said, I was like, who are you, Fenerbahce, Galatasaray, you know? And he was like, Fenerbahce. And it's just the way that he delivered it. I was like, all right, okay. And he's a bit of an old boy, you know, same. Maybe not so much of a massive old boy, but he was quite an old school
My
guy.
Old boy.
Yeah, he's probably,
he's probably
about,
the one who chased
he's probably
and threatened.
About, he's probably about so, your age, so to
he
be fair.
Threatened me repeatedly so, outside the ground in 97 then.
Yeah, yeah. You all right, mate?
How are you, mate? Sorry.
What do you reckon the score? No, go for it.
Score, I reckon, 1-0. 1-0 United.
Right, Nick's telling us
sorry,
a story
I
d- about
I just I met a Fenerbahce hooligan at the weekend, so just telling my story of that. But anyway, we sat in this restaurant and he was like, you know, do you go to the match? I was like, yeah. So I got my phone up and showed him a season ticket, and he went, all right. He's like, me too, every game kept tapping his chest, and I was like, right, okay. And he started rolling down his, like, his neck thing, and he's just got all these old school Fenerbahce tattoo, like, hooligans around his neck, and he's like, you and me, we are the same, like this, and kept tapping me. And I was like, you know, started talking about how we ate Liverpool and how they ate Galatasaray, and he kept making this, like, throat-slitting gesture, and he was like, say, you me, ultra? You ultra? And I was like, we don't really have ultras.
Nick,
so like,
the least ultra red there is.
He was like, oh, I'm an ultra, all right.
Sat there eating my calamari in his restaurant, like, just like the most... So he goes, you and me are the same, aren't we? I was like, I really don't think so. And he walked off, and I said to him, this is when he stabs people for a living at football. And last game we were there talking about wet in the Pev. I was like, that's what I was going.
Right, lads, you're on quick. Right, come on.
Go on.
Score. How are we doing, lads?
Without Hoyland, I don't know. I think we're struggling, aren't we, today?
I'm 1-0, but I don't want to be 1-0. I don't want to have
a
game.
It's a victory, but I'm just, that's just drunken.
There's a lot of...
I'll have a 1-0, and that'll get me out of it.
We've had 4-1-0s in the last few minutes.
Yeah. Oh, probably 3-2.
Oh, I like that.
2-1.
2-1. And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Right, good. Yeah. You're all right, lads?
Actually,
yeah,
we're all right.
Well, I'm
not... Are you okay?
Yeah. Well, yes, I'm back here. Right, I'll ask you quickly. Old Trafford...
New.
No, rebuild.
Rebuild?
Rebuild, yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to...
Still be here.
Out of being selfish, I was saying this to Graham the other day, out of being selfish, you know what we say?
Yeah.
Because one row up, talk to the lads behind us, £8 a ticket more, we're lucky, cheapest tickets in the seat, but I've got the best view.
Yeah.
If you, someone said, move to a new stadium, but you can have your exact same seat with your exact same view, I'll go, all right, fair enough, I'll have it. But if they're going to be with a new stadium and stick me up in a corner...
Knowing United, you won't be there a year even if we stay at those rates. But I look at it and I think for all its ills, it's still a thing of beauty. Yeah, you know, even the light... I know.
You look from the back there and I drive down Waterside Road quite a lot. The rust that's hanging off them stanchions back
but
there
But we know why that is.
Yeah.
It's just
we know.
Left to rot for 20 years, didn't need to be this way. But I still look at the distance when I come in and think, it's home, you know.
It's home.
It's where we've always been, isn't it?
But
it is.
We're not the future.
We were just asking if Fred Dibnall was still available with a pot of paint.
Get him on top. Get him on the top. Where the paint's getting off.
Did you see that one where he's up the fucking thing? The chimney. It's just like, what are you doing, you mad bastard? I'd get dizzy literally on step two there. While Nick sends me videos of bridges.
Where's Shane?
Where is it? It must still be in the pub, I think. Right, I'll end that. Right, so going for predictions. Have you done yours?
Well, I want to change it now. I know that we've got the kid up top, and I'll say we'll win 2-1. All right.
Yeah, okay. Who's up top?
Awesome.
Oh, is he playing?
Yeah, fair play, but no Anthony, isn't that a damning lie?
No Anthony,
right.
So it's just one.
So we'll see. But it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, right, okay, lads.
I'll do that. I'm going to go for 2-1 now.
2-1, we're changing. Right, cheers, lads.
Hello. It's... about 3 minutes after the game's finished and we're already sat in the Pev. I retract all my positivity from before the game, and that was not very good. Paul, we were just chatting then, and Paul just said, are we doing a pod? So I know you've got some on the tip of your tongue ready to go. So
I am really. We're about to sort of launch into talking about the game. I thought we might as well, rather than talking about it and then having recycling it. But you were saying that you think they're going to sack him today, which I was like a bit taken aback with.
I just think, based on, like, I know that I was positive before, but like as me and Barney said about in the interview where he doesn't, Jim's interview where he doesn't really stand up for Ten Hag and in it, and I just think the one thing he does do is emphasise how important it is to get Champions League, for both for, you know, that's where the club should be, but also financially. I think that there's enough games left that I just, like Barney asked me earlier, do you think we'll get Champions League? And I was like, I didn't say yes or no because I wasn't sure, but I think today doesn't help that. And I just think they're gonna get rid of him at the end of the season anyway. I just don't think that he's going to be in charge at the start of next season. And if they've already got someone lined up, which, well, the most uninspiring thing is Potter, isn't it? But they're going to have someone in. I think they've got everything else lined up with the people above that.
Yeah.
I think they've got someone lined up for it. And I think if it's not now, like I was saying to Barney, I was like, if we were to finish the season well, there's still. It just cut off there, but I was just saying that I think even if they finish the season well, I still think it'll happen. So I just wouldn't be surprised if they just do it, because I think there's enough games left in the season where there's a chance that someone could come in and there'd be a bounce and we could get Champions League. I think it'll happen. I wouldn't, not saying that I think it will, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does. That's the difference.
Do you think it should?
It depends on who they've got lined up, because like I say, if Potter's the person that's going to be replacing him, then I'm not inspired, but that's who it feels like it'll be,
unless you're like monumentally nosedive towards the tail end of the season. I don't think it warrants it.
Cheers, mate.
I don't, as weird as it sounds, I don't think they should change the manager at this point, and that's despite not thinking that he is the long-term solution.
Would you wait until the end of the season?
No, I would give him another year. I honestly think at this juncture it's not the ideal thing to change the manager.
But do you not think, like we say, that
there's other stuff to be done as opposed to sort of like in trying to instill another? Because I don't think they've got the long-term person in mind. I don't think, like, why would putting Graham Potter in charge suddenly be, you know what I mean? Sort of like the road ahead is not going to suddenly sort of like reveal itself.
It just feels Potter. when they're coming in and it feels like they're coming in and they're picking their men for every situation, every position they're putting their people in, and it just feels like. They're going to want that person. So yeah, Rashford was shit. I'd sell him.
Terrible. We said it in the taxi.
Yeah, we said it in the taxi. Was it Villa of the Week? And I was watching him, like, put a bit of a closer eye on him. And I know everyone's had an opinion for a while, but he has gone. And like today, just sums up really, doesn't it? He's for himself. PSG's the obvious one with Mbappe going Madrid, but
it's where the hell coming from, though. Like, you know,
what's an acceptable offer, like money wise nowadays for him? Because we just want rid of him.
Honestly, take 30. If anyone came in and said 30 and that's £300,000 a week off the wage bill, I would be like, you know what I mean? Please. United won't, because they're not that fucking astute, and they'll give them another 5-year contract and think, well, you know, that's going to like raise interest. But it's fucking head's gone completely. I thought I was in the mag last month. I was very, very harsh, and I thought I like wrote it in a strop. And since then, we've such, you know, like as they do, they've gone on and won 4 or 5 games, and you start thinking to yourself, "Have I been too, you know, too harsh there?" But today, it's like, no, I'm absolutely bang on in what my sort of gut feeling is about the whole situation. Today was fucking crap.
I think it was missing Hoyland, like it showed, like.
But it's not just Hoyland.
No, of course it's not just.
Obviously, they're missing Hoyland, they're missing Martinez. We know that. Martinez is the key player for that team because he chills them all out. He's the only outlet for starting attacks. I mean, today, how many times did fucking Garnacho give it to Maguire? And like, what's going to happen from there? It's dismal football.
But it's still our issue, isn't it? Like, what is our style of play? What is it? What is it we're going to see? It's all right. Every team has injuries. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of injuries, but now we've lost a striker that we didn't really rate 4 weeks ago, but now we can't do without. He was poor today. He was poor, and I agree with Paul. I'd give Ten Hag this season, and I'd give him next season as well. However, a lot of the stuff is down on the management. He's the one who's picking the team. It's like, for example, when Rashford went on his little jolly in Ireland, he's the one who decided to fine him and then play him. Thought Rashford was poor today, he wasn't the only one. And I don't want to create a scapegoat about him, but he's not 19 anymore, is he? What is he, 26?
26,
We were talking in the cab on the way to the pub that all this like ranting and raving about Rashford, how good he is and stuff. He's not even in the top 15 strikers, top 20 strikers we've had. We've got Luis Saar above him, we've got Brian McClair above him, we've got 100% Ruud van Nistelrooy above him. Do you know, he's not even in the same...
I don't think he's in that conversation for attackers in the league at the moment, let alone our history. Do you know what I mean? Like, would you put him in the top 10 attackers in the league right now? He wouldn't be in there. So
I'll have Jamie fucking Vardy ahead of him, and he's not even in the Premier League. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I just the way that we just kept getting cut apart today, I think, was like Bruno frustrates me as well. He's been poor for a while as well, Bruno.
Terrible, all over the place. But again, I've had this conversation a few times. I think the problem with him is it's all high risk, high reward football. He's incredible.
Oh, you silly bastard.
Nickname not being inside side in. The problem is with Bruno, it's high risk, high reward. He's only got one way of playing. It's fucking brainless at times, especially in our team. If he was in City's team, he would be the key fucking player because he is. I just think he needs. He's not surrounded by enough quality, and
people doing his dirty work.
People doing the dirty work for him to allow him to do the fucking crazy shit he tries.
Mm.
If he had more people, if everyone else shared his work ethic and desire, we'd be laughing, but they don't. Which is why, you know, lots of occasions, it looks like he's fucking terrible. But I don't think he is terrible, but he's perhaps not the best fit for us right now. If you look at him 3 years ago in our team, there's no doubt in the fact he's gone backwards.
Yeah.
But, you know, and maybe it's one of them you have to sort of like sever that, because for now he is not what we need. We don't need someone.
I made notes and I said it might be an unpopular opinion, but if someone came in and offered money, I think I'd take it as well for him as well.
But I don't think United would.
But which United are you talking about? Are you talking about the United of the last 10 years or the new regime United?
I think I'm talking both.
Do you think?
I don't think if people came in, he's one of the.
He might. It depends if he wants to stay, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the two or three players who we wouldn't listen to offers for.
Because there was talk of a big offer for him in January, wasn't there, from Saudis? And he didn't want to leave.
Well, he would, but, exactly. Well,
he, no, but.
Serious player,
no, but. Hello, Nick.
Hiya.
Have you got any thoughts?
Dear me, that. I nearly fell asleep in the first half, to be honest, and then their goal woke us up a bit. I was literally about to leave. Maguire scored, and I thought, do you know what we'll do this year? We had another chance, and I thought, getting a bit giddy. Barney even stayed. And then, have you seen their goal, by the way?
I've seen the goal.
It's like a knife through butter. It's just so bad. It's just like a comedy of errors of different players just missing or not doing anything. But we've just got a squad of really dumb footballers. We finished the game today with two out of the 11 players on the pitch are Erik ten Hag signings. And we're still dealing with players like Lindelof and Dalot, who Jose and who aren't good enough, weren't good enough then, and suddenly we're still persisting with them. I mean, Jose left him, what, 6 years ago? You know, 5-6 years ago, and we're still playing these players. It's mad. What do you expect? Do you know what I mean? We're missing our three best players, who are Shaw, Martinez and Højlund. I think they're bar the maybe Mainu and Casemiro probably in that discussion, but they're certainly
for the reason you get cut open. It's
no, but it's a reason why you don't score goals. You know, you don't, you get cut open because, and I think you get cut open especially today, is because Rashford doesn't press. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be. Bruno has to then come forward to fill the gap to try and press the areas where he should be pressing. He's then out of position, and then you're already dealing with, you know, three or four midfield players running at two players in the middle. They're going to win. The law of averages is going to, and it happens every single time. It's just whether you get caught out or not.
As a footballer, right, Rashford's 27. Do people tell you what to do every day at the job? Like, Mikey, it's time for you to go for a poo now. It's time for you to put the kettle on now. It's absolute fucking nonsense. It's I think everyone like overcomplicates football. I think you got like this new sort of generation of expected goals and shit like that that no one fucking understands at all. Everyone watches a game of football. It's not hard. If your man runs past you, then fucking chase him. And if it's not in the box, you bring him down. Do you know what I mean? It's not that fucking difficult, but we've got too many players that just let people run past them. We've got too many players at United, unfortunately, that just aren't good enough. But I mean, the annoying thing was, I called it bipolar football before, because the minute you think that, right, top four, it'd be great, not just because we're going to win the European Cup, but it'd mean like the everyday average match going fan wouldn't have to go to football on a Thursday and a Sunday, can actually have like the luxury of going to the football with his mates on a Saturday. We think we're going to get somewhere. No, these fucking morons fuck it up. And that's,
who's your favourite moron?
What, in the whole world?
Yeah, right. The whole world, and then the squad.
I don't like Mr. Tumbles. I think he's a top moron.
Yeah, I can get on board with that one.
Ben Shepherd, don't like him.
Oh yeah, obviously yeah. Everyone hates Ben Shepherd. Yeah, even his mum hates Ben Shepherd.
Mentioned before, don't really like Lizo McKimball, who presents News Round. Think he's
me and Nick saw him. We were sitting next to him last time.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's a bell end. Who else?
Who in the squad?
Who else is your favourite?
Oh, footballers. I just think we've got so many players that just aren't good enough.
I put in my notes, our players are thick.
Yeah.
Thick.
Oh, really bad, aren't they?
Really. Just
there's no
not
intelligence
smart
to get the ball out.
And I'm glad, like, the other week, like, I think it was after the last game, and it felt like people were starting to think that Dalot was good. And in a way, I'm glad that people have realised that he's not good, because he's shit. And he had a couple of good games.
Spelling that out.
But, like,
he's just terrible. But it started to feel like people were thinking, oh, actually, he's not that bad. No, well, he's shit.
And
he was shit today.
We talked about it a lot in the taxi. And this isn't like a new thing. I think when Fergie retired and Morris took over, Paul sat in front of me for a great number of years. When Morris took over, it was like, oh, we might as well like watch the game now because anything could happen here. And it was like, it was different for a while because we didn't know what was going to happen. And then as things started to deteriorate, I remember suggesting, I can't remember the guy's name, he was a centre-half for Stoke City, and Paul Surinam said, no, he's not good enough. And I think that the thing that we've got... No, it wasn't him. I can't remember. Someone better than him. Robbie Williams, or so I can't
remember. Another moron.
But the thing that I'm trying to sort of explain is that we sort of settled for mediocrity now. Like, he'll do. Or, like, for example, Delotte. Do you know what? No one can doubt his passion. No one can doubt his aggression.
His fist pumping.
He'll have a go.
He has the best.
He seems to like us. We seem to like him. However, we need players that are 8, 9 out of 10 every game, and he's not that. And there's a lot that are like that, unfortunately. And we've sort of started to accept mediocrity for. It's like we were talking about Rashford before. He's not fit to lace. No way near Ruud van Nistelrooy. No way near other strikers we've had before. Now, like, ever. He's no way near. And it's not just him. It's every sort of player on the pitch that are just not as good as what we've had before. And that isn't like, oh, I miss the old days. I just think that... We're a football team now that sort of seems to accept, oh, well, that player's better than what we had before. Well, I don't think that's the way to run a football club. What do I know?
Do you think that'll change under the new partial ownership?
I don't know. I think everyone's... Look, I think about the ownership. What do I know about multi-billionaires? I know less about them than I do about
Mr. Tumbles
attracting women to me. Yeah, anyway. I don't know. I don't know what their plan is. I don't think anyone knows what their plan is. I think in terms of the manager, I think he has had an opportunity. I would agree with Paul. I would keep him for the next year. However... The club, as we know, is fucked, and it does need a complete overall top to bottom, and that doesn't mean to sack everyone that's like ever been involved in the football club. It means it needs to start at the top, which seems to be doing at the moment, and then it sort of drip feeds down, and yeah, we'll take it from there. Anyway, talk to someone else.
Oh, okay.
Off you, folk.
Who's your favourite moron?
My favourite moron? Barney,
yeah. Good shout. Mine's Coggy on that note. I'll just get that in there. Favourite moron?
There's a couple sat on his table, then.
why did you look at me when you said that?
just on a bipolar bit before I've seen. Bipolar, you get downs and you get ups. There don't seem to be that many ups with us at the minute, does it?
No.
It's like majority downs, and sometimes you look at them and you think you see a bit of progress. And now we touched on it before, not to paper all the cracks, but injury wise, it's been bad this season. And when we've got a full squad there, like Shaw, Martinez, Casemiro, Haaland, whatever, then you start to think it's not too bad. Like, it might be all right, but as soon as you take a couple of them players out.
Three of those four that you just listed, Ten Hag signed, in fairness.
Yeah, and as soon as they're not in the squad, like today, it shows it's just like, it's woeful.
I do think he needs more time to bed out the rest of it and make it more of a squad rather than a starting 11. I know Nathan is ready to...
Nathan's ready to fucking cut the head off tonight.
That was what I think could happen, not what I want to happen. I think the thing for me is, like I said a few weeks ago, that it felt like we had another one of these coming, like in terms of a bad loss. But I think other than, was it West Ham, where we've not had all the, we've won a few games like in the last month or so, but none of them have been convincing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we've had one comfortable game where we've come out of that and gone, that was easy. Like, that was surprisingly easy. And I think we've always been on that edge of, we've just about won, you know, like we've even like Luton and stuff like that, we've only just won games.
You've got me thinking now, because perhaps what's happened over the last month, I'd like sort of fallen into that, am I being too harsh? Because they've won a few and they look like they were getting a run together. Today just brings everything crashing back down to earth. I'm thinking now, if we go out of the cup on Wednesday, is there some mileage in what you're alleging, well, you know?
So when I was on the bus...
I just can't see that happening.
You folded easily there, pal.
But when I was on...
couple of pints in, there's fucking origami over there.
Nathan, you've rocked me.
When I was on the bus, in my note, I put Wednesday will be important because... But then I also thought about when... way that Jim was talking.
When Jimmy was talking.
It was all about Champions League. And I just don't think that. I don't think the FA Cup will come into it.
No, it shouldn't do. No, should it?
So that's what I mean. I don't think losing on Wednesday will be the deciding thing. I think it'll be league results that'll matter.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So.
Well, they're not going to flirt him, are they? Just because we've lost one after winning five on the bounce or whatever.
Unless we monumentally nose that, as I said before, I don't think he should get rid of him. I don't think he will do. If we do that
next weekend.
Huh?
Yeah, but that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Off, can't wait for that. That's a write-off, though, isn't it? Like, you expect to get
if we scrape a nil-nil, it will be a major fucking result.
I'll take that now. Limps in this season, do half all right. Don't completely disgrace yourself.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it'll be all right. In my opinion, I think it'll be all right. See what happens next season.
Here's one for you. Would you have Sancho back? Save Sancho suddenly fucking hits a run of form at Dortmund, scores 10 goals to the end of the season, right? And then comes...
Nick's currently shaking his head. Are you shaking your head?
Let me ask the question. Excuse me.
Sorry.
I'm an experienced podcast host. Will you let me ask me a question?
Yes, you can. Sorry.
And even if he came back, cap in hand, and said to Ten Hag, I apologise for my past misdemeanours. Let's put this behind us, and I'm fully committed to the project. I've had a word with Jim,
Jimmy lad,
and I'm fully behind you, and I respect your boldness. Would you have him back? Or should Eric go, get to fuck?
I don't think so.
No, right, okay, Mikey.
If we're talking hypothetically, if he goes in, smashes it for Dortmund, comes back, cap in hand, apologise or whatever, and does it on the pitch for us. If he performs for us on the pitch for us,
would you allow him back on that pitch?
Well, what are the other options?
Well, no, you can fuck off and go and play for Freiburg or whatever.
Yeah, on the face of it, you go no. But everything's in hindsight, isn't it? If he came back and put in a performance to us, everything would be forgiven, wouldn't it? Football fans are knee jerk, aren't they?
If he came in and put the ball in the net a few times. Would you give him what's happened, the chain of events, would you give him another chance?
Not ideally, but.
It's very interesting. Get off the fence.
No, I'm fucking sitting firmly on the fence.
Right. Steven. No,
fuck off.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I think I've turned it off.
No, I think you're still going.
It's still going.
Sorry, everyone. Nick, would you give him another chance?
No, Rashford 2.0.
Yeah, absolutely. He can fuck off. Right.
Bear in mind, anyone that can hit a run of form scoring 10 goals in the Bundesliga is not an achievement.
Can I also say that if he did come back, bang 10 goals in for United, you'd all be sat around there going, yeah, he's half decent, Sancho, blah, blah. So let's not paint a picture of something else.
For the record, Michael.
Yeah, you'd be that bitter that your Kenneth is going. Me knowing you and you knowing me, I know that you say that.
I would carry on the beef.
Yeah, forever. Yeah, exactly.
So have you got any more thoughts about what our Jim said this week?
You know what, I'm not listening. I'm just listening to snippets of it. I'm not like watching it in depth or anything. It's positive in it, you know, the outlook of it all. Just see what happens with it. But in terms of you on Ten Hag, as I said before, just as long as we don't completely nosedive, keep it going, see what happens next season. But this can only, you'd like to think this can only be an improvement. So see what happens with it.
Yep. Steve, you got any hates of the week?
Oh, I've got plenty. The Royals. I'm not a fan of
any reason. Just in general.
Don't think that really needs explaining, does it?
No.
Quite sprung that on me. Hates of the week.
It does happen every pod, so.
Yeah, I really like Great British Menu. It's one of like my favourite things.
Comfort TV.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. You say you really like it.
I do really like it, but what's annoyed me at the moment? So on a Tuesday they have the starter and the fish, but the starter now is vegan, so I'm like, all right, watching. I can't make vegan. What do I want to make vegan food for? So I'm not going to replicate what he's making. But anyway, so on Tuesday it's vegan and fish. On a Wednesday it's
fish and rice cake.
It's like a main course and a pudding, which I understand. And then Thursdays. So it sort of comes to Thursday, and I'm like, well, why the fucking wasting my time watching Monday and Tuesday? Tuesday and Wednesday, when I could just watch it on a Thursday. And I don't like Andy Oliver, if I'm honest.
This is the longest day.
Fish and rice cake.
Yeah, I don't like rice cakes, if we're honest.
So that's your hate of the week. Or your love of the week?
No, I don't hate anything. I'm just telling you what comes to my head.
Michael Scott from the US office. It's like sometimes I start a sentence and I have no idea where it's going to go.
No, I'm going to go now.
Okay. Has anyone else got anything to say before we go?
What about hates of the week?
Hates of the week. A little bit too much information. Mid pod, I've decided to go for a piss. I've gone for a piss. I'll come back. I'm thinking I might just get around in, save my room when everyone's doing a pod. I get to the bar. There's 20, and I'm obviously getting a bit older now. There's 20 younger people there wearing them dickhead golf hats.
It did get very loud before.
Yeah.
Oh, so, is that
so,
what it was?
So they're on a little student pub crawl where they dress up like pub golf.
That's what it's called,
piled in. Now we're in the Pev, and we know and they know that they will never ever come in a Pev at any other time other than this to do the pub golf, and that pisses me off. So I'm trying to get a pint and they're still in them fucking dickhead hats.
So shall I glass one on the way out?
Have you got any hates?
Hates of the week? Amazon Prime putting adverts in. That's it. Fucking bang out of order. You got any?
Corn on the cob.
Explain.
Why do you need to make eating sweet corn more difficult?
Sweet corn.
Yeah. Well, it just gets in your teeth. Just fucking cut it off and have normal sweet corn. Have Green Giant Arbutin.
No, it's right.
Corn on the cob is wank. I'm sorry. I don't care who that offends. Do you know what? I'm fucking seething with corn on the cob. I'm fucking sick of it. So last week I was in Istanbul and they sell it on the street, don't they? And it's fucking everywhere. And he was like, I could really go for a corn on the cob. Like, you're basically saying you could just go for sweet corn.
Does she ever buy the little pots of sweet corn on Market Street?
No.
Exactly. What's the difference?
Point? Exactly.
My missus bought these little people, like, the stabby things in the end. One was a head and one was a bottle. And the idea is, like, stick it in, like, both ends of the corn and the cob, and you eat them.
Yeah, turn it down. We had
don't know how I feel about that, because
we used to put them in.
No, but he's like,
there should be a device. Just get the corn and the cob and shred all the corn off.
That would be great. That's a $1 million. I disagree. I think that's barbaric.
What?
I just think it's barbaric. I think, like, if you're going to eat the corn and the cob, you eat the corn and the cob.
You don't moan about it. Things in the end of it isn't barbaric.
Well, so you should shave your corn and the cob before.
On that note,
yeah. Tune in next week.
Thanks to everyone who bought the mag. We sold out. We've got a new one for the next game, which, you know, is in a couple of weeks, I think. And glory, glory, Man United to the regiment, and we love you all. Goodbye.
Right, this is a boring bastard sober one, so Shane definitely doesn't want to do this, and I'm going to irk about 99% of the country has phone coverage and I can't get a phone reception. We're on the train, we're drinking soft drinks, me and Shane have jinxed Old Trafford again, a joyless enterprise that the only thing we're flirting with now is probably disaster. There was a lad on the bus who was making good points, that I don't want to be that team who looked on for years of teams just sacking manager, and you don't want to be that, but we're heading to that thing again. And I thought then Fulham had a game plan and we didn't have a plan. We don't change it, where opponents mix things up to play against us. We never seem to change style depending on opponent. You know, I know we shit the bed at Anfield, but that was maybe a bit of luck and grit. But I looked and I didn't see any type of, we're very stupid, we're very weak-willed, but I didn't see any nous intelligence. And I know we got the injuries, and Lindelof at left back made me think, you know, not wasn't crying for a Rambat. We went chasing for months and has disappeared, and you think he's not an answer, he's not our standard. But Reguilon was okay, and okay is probably okay for this team. He's just gone, and you could do with him. But there was just nothing. We huffed, and the saddest part of all is, not just goal difference is zero again. On days like today, you suddenly think there are so many issues, so many things, and nothing. And the lad on the bus again was saying, you know, he's not a Man United player. He said, but what is a Manchester United player anymore? And someone behind you said, I want to see a bit of heart. And we don't even see that. And there was a point where I thought, at least we had 5 minutes, you know, like bravado, and the atmosphere was good, and we got behind them and won all, and I thought, we're going to win this, and actually me and Shane are going to see a late winner and be selfish. And I thought, that's how bad and damning this season has been, especially at home, is that we just have 5 minutes where we might just recover. We don't dominate, we don't have those moments. We should be having those, you know, often at home. We're just a bland, drab mix of players who are on their last legs, players who don't know what to do, fairly stupid stupidity, and none more so than it happened before their second. But Maguire was like hinting he was injured, yet while he's injured and holding his leg, and I know he'd got us out of jail with a goal, he called to Onana not to play it long, to play it to him while he's feeling an injury, to which we go upfield, give the ball away daftly, they come and score. And the game had a pre-season vibes, but we can say injuries and injuries, Fulham had injuries, but we've got a lot of bad squad players, and ultimately, however much I can keep saying, like Cinderella, yes, give him another year, there are some deep worries about what is Ten Hag's, what is his style of play, what is his vision, and also what are your basic instructions. And last thing before I get on to Shane, I forgot to say about the Rashford thing, and he was getting a lot of abuse, like Mark had insinuated on the pod last week, a lot of abuse. But I thought, if you don't want to be it, mate,
to Ashford, then that's it. It's just, and we talked about this before we'd seen the Luton incident with Barkley, and today he was jogging on the spot, half arsed. And if you're not arsed, but it was just weird. It was another one of those really weird. What are we? And I will say, Anthony's not the answer. So please don't think me saying Anthony got not getting on changed the dynamics. But Anthony is his man. We are presumably, whether Anthony's the answer, Sancho's going to be gone, Greenwood's going to be gone in the summer. You ain't going to get rid of Anthony, but he's fallen out. He'll fall out with another player, because if you pick the youngster, which wasn't working, you know, and that's not on him, that's just too much. Then you put Ahmed on just for 10 minutes. Then you still don't put Anthony on. That is not only damning, but that's on you, Eric. That's not on Anthony. That is on you. You know, why did you spend 100 million on him? Surely today's the chance where you go on 10 minutes, because we're, you know, so hella shame.
Yeah, what can you say about today, really? I wasn't that confident beforehand. I thought, if I'm honest, you know, we've had a good run. I wasn't at Luton last week, but I was at Villa away. I thought Villa actually was a pretty decent performance away from home against a team that are doing really well. And the difference today was, I could see us, you know, at Villa, I could see us, you know, they come back at equal. I could see us getting a winner at Villa, and you could kind of sense it coming. Whereas today, it's really hard to put your finger on what's really wrong. You know, you could say players not good enough, there's no game plan. But when you go down to the very basics, it just looks like, you know, in from someone in the ground, that certain players are not trying. And, you know, you're playing, and no disrespect to Fulham at all, and they were good value for their 3 points today, but you're playing a very average side. And you're at home at Old Trafford, and you're expecting to put them under siege. And at times, me and the lad next to us were saying, like, it's the confused thing about this performance is we're playing like we're defending a 1-0 lead rather than chasing a goal. And, you know, we got this mixture of, as you said there, we got, you know, the likes of Casemiro, Varane, who are, like, obviously quality players, but probably a bit past their best. You got Eriksen, who's very past his best. You know, what, he's a lovely footballer on his day, but he come on and he's just,
his day is a leap year day.
He clearly didn't have the legs for it, you know. And I think Casemiro going off, you know, that, like, the whole game, I thought the dynamic wasn't great before then, but going off, we lost all sorts of shape after Casemiro went off, and it looked very disjointed, as though the players didn't really know where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing. So that, you know, you kind of question, well, what have they been told? Is it attitude or is it tactics from the manager? So, and then to get yourself back into the game and then throw it away. There was that little bit of brief 5 minutes, but I thought they were very. I thought that second half today was. You think it can't get any poorer this season? I thought that was very. I can't think of a worse 45 minutes this season. It was just woeful.
I think for three out of the last five seasons, pre this, so this is not, you know, it's not solely on Eric. It's just a culminating. Ratcliffe said that, you know, like, it's just systematic of not having a structure. But for Manchester United, you know, Manchester United always score. You're looking at new order freak, aren't you? You're actually looking at New Order.
Someone's just is trying to tempt me for New Ordering with them, sure, yeah.
You're just New Order mad. It's like, for Manchester United always score to be, once again, fucking about on zero goal difference. It's shameful. And the one positive for me again was Garnacho. I think he needs a rest. And where are you going to give him no rest? But Garnacho is the only one who's bright, showing better improvement. Who else is it now, even though we've gone on a little run, which is five games, who actually is improved this season?
So we had a bit of an argument,
apart from Manu, but I'm saying, you know, like, regular.
I was saying over the season, like, you got Manu, but then you've got, like,
Eric should be improving.
But Manu's like, kind of like, suddenly, once again, we've got a youngster who's just broken through into the first team, and he looks our most composed midfielder. And he looks like we're totally reliant on him, and that's not gonna end well. Like, he needs to be carefully managed. I think you had said that after Luton last week. He needs to be carefully managed. Now Rashford gets more than his fair share of stick, admittedly, but Rashford's on a big contract, and he's a big player. And
well, he's not like, a big player. Is
no, but today, today he was nothing. Like, yeah, I'm.
When was the last game?
He
won us a game.
Well, I'm right behind, like, at the east end, right behind the goal, low down. And there were times today where people were just screaming, "You need to be, like, you're second to the ball." Not always through your own fault, but a lot of time you're not trying. You're not trying as hard as the opposition player is, and there's no excuse for that.
The point I was trying to make about Rooney is Rooney split opinion, but he backed it up.
Yeah, exactly,
like,
yeah.
I will say, like, God, I hope we don't get too shell, and I do hope we pause. I cannot see him. Unless we win the cup, that didn't save Wenger. Yeah, I cannot see. Yeah. And there's ground. But I made the point after Palace, yeah? When was Palace? When was the Palace defeat? I can't even remember in this shit show of a season. But Eric said, he came on Match of the Day and he went, the decisions on the ball were really poor. And then I thought, this is a point I made pre all this, that's the same thing. We'd lost four of the first seven games. But I put then, after Palace, we're not moving away. I just constantly fear that we're just going to step back a gear and return to that. And we do keep doing it. We're not a pressing side. It's pathetic pressing. We don't keep the ball. Fulham had 17 chances today, Shane. So we're not counter either.
But we're so slow. We're so slow sluggish. Moving the ball forward. Sluggish.
But that's what pre-season it had a pre-season vibe in the atmosphere. And it had a pre-season vibe.
The thing, like, the roots of our ills are mostly down to the ownership and the way the club's been run. Hopefully, who knows? I'm not. We can talk about Ratcliffe if you like. I'm not, like, everyone's getting a bit giddy this week. I'm still like, it's got to be better than it was, and it's great to put in football structure in, but there's a lot of gusto. He's saying the right stuff, but I don't really want to hear the words. I want to see. Time will tell. But a lot of the ills. So in defence of the manager, a lot of those problems have come from managing in a basket case context. However, the thing that's, I think I said, I can't remember which game it was, it might have been back at Arsenal away, that the problem is clearly there's two big signings that are definitely, well, three if you count Mount, but we haven't seen Mount, I'm not going to judge him.
Who is Mount? Where is
but,
Mount?
But
if Mount breathes in but, a forest, yeah, then a tree knocks down.
But there's three big signings which you can only assume at least two of them, the goalkeeper and Anthony, are on the manager's recommendation. I'm assuming that because they're players that he knows and they're players that he's managed before. So you can only assume they're the club spending on players that he wanted. And if we're judging on those two big signings, it's a very, very, you know, you can't even say the jurors out. They're, like, in my view, they're both, one's very underwhelming signing and one's a bad signing.
Onana's had a better month, but still,
yeah,
but
we're talking but a better month.
I did say
what?
He stared at the ball again, going,
yeah, his goal, yeah.
Nick said De Gea would have done that, but he just, no, you've got it, no it, confidence for a clean
the,
sheet
even
I
the
mean,
goal
that's what you're there
started,
to do,
yeah, he's not,
but he doesn't, but he's not good with the ball,
his distribution's woeful, and this,
that's why we signed him.
Like, I'm not being funny, if a goalkeeper's having to, can't even, that's a tap it out to Maguire every time. It's the most ridiculous ritual I've ever seen.
VAR
yeah.
didn't take away that goal when it said VAR. I thought if you take that away, little line.
But it's like Slev. It's like the bloke next to me was like, what, today was saying, like, well, why do we have to? We're chasing the game. Just get the ball forward. You're supposed to be able to play the ball. But no, we have to wait to Maguire to drop back, then knock it to Maguire, and then he knocks it back to Onana. What's that ritual about? It's like self-flagellation. It's like let's torture ourselves, but. Yeah, so I think that's what the manager's got stacked against him. If you're a new regime coming in, you're going to say, right, we're now going to put the people in place that are going to pick the right signings, pick the right investment, pick the right structure of the team. But if they're looking at a manager thinking, well, what is his style of play? And his two, three big signings a day, well, let's discount Mount because he's been injured for most of it, so he hasn't had time to prove it. But the two signings, the big two calls you made were a goalkeeper and Anthony, and they're both looking very underwhelming. It doesn't bode well for him, I don't think.
The thing is also is, like, people, that it's that bad for Rashford now that lots of people, I would have had Bruno as a false nine, but lots of people are saying, put McTominay up top. That's how little.
But that's ridiculous.
But he's almost. Yeah. No, but I'm saying that's how little faith in the most.
But McTominay's not, like, McTominay's a great, like, he's had a
he's
good
a
season.
On,
he's a come on, and he puts a heart in, he chases a goal, but he's not, like, to my mind, he's not a midfielder that's good. Like,
but we're
when
back,
he come on, there's
we're
no, all the shape
backwards to the point that you can say, you'd want to keep three or four of them, max.
Well, Garnacho's been forward. by a long Madrid shot. Legend. Take Mainu, Garnacho. But the thing about that is Garnacho's been like the highlight of the season, player wise, both on like his entertainment and his skill, but also because of his effort. His effort, and that's the bit that I cannot excuse from the rest of the players, is the lack of effort and the desire.
We're backpedalling, and obviously we're going to throw our toys out of the pram slightly after another woeful home. But if you're saying that, you know, I like Casemiro, but he's had a poor season and he's been out. Varane is just putting himself together. But you think, like, okay, say they go to Saudi, so who are you actually keeping? Who actually did build that side of it?
To be balanced, like, we've been, like, and that's another matter, like, why you're getting so many injuries. But the injury curse this season, like, it's not a season that any of us would have envisaged, like, in terms of the injuries and what's happened. So that is, you've got to kind of account for that.
You have decent reserves.
So we've got
a centre back who shouldn't be a centre back, you know, Lindelof, barely a squad player, playing at left back. And I'm like, but are you having this though? Someone came up to me earlier and went, you look like Ten Hag.
That's quite a compliment.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Nick said Ten Hag in 10 years once United have worn him.
Yeah, once United have finished.
Manchester United is meant to be dreams, ambition, cockiness, a strut, a belief. And the worst thing I can say, and we've had it partly under Jose, we had a shambles under Ollie, but we didn't have it under Ollie, but we've partly had it under Jose, and we had it a lot under Van Gaal, and we've had a hell of a lot this season, especially at Old Trafford. We are joyless, and I hate going to see Manchester United, who are by example the opposite of joyless, to be that we might, that Steve said at half time, no sorry 60 minutes in, have we had a shot? And I said, oh yeah, that should be justifying
I don't expect us to win every game. I didn't even, like, I went there sadly not expecting us to win today, and I thought, you know, we've had a good run, but it's not been, you know, we've been scraping games, but it's been a very good run, credit where it's due, and I thought it was a bit of resilience. That's what I was hoping for, that run and getting those victories at Villa, at Luton, have given us a bit of confidence that, well, if the game's not going our way, we're still going to carve out something. But today we went back into that, like, it just looked like it's not going our way, confidence saps. Maybe, you know, that's partly the pressure at home, the crowd, I don't know. But the bit that I can take being a bit shy, what I can't take is not giving it your all. And today, to my eye anyway, players were not giving it their all, and Fulham were first to the ball too many times. And it can be as basic.
I know the cockney twat, you know, like, and you get what you deserve. But you think, my day started at 6:15, your day started at whatever, you'll get back at what time God engineering works tonight. And you think, it's not why we do it, and the cliche is much more than 90 minutes, but for fuck's sake, 90 minutes, give us a bit fucking fun, for fuck's sake. I could almost, right, I'm going to say thanks everyone to sell out with 220, we've got about a half a dozen mags left, so if you missed it, please order it, next one Everton might be one off, please, please, please support the mag, and then the April one's going to be brilliant. And have you got any hate for the
I have I've got
from,
two
go on no, so Manchester United,
yeah, it's a bit, usually it's, we're in a pub form, and it's a bit boozier, so this might not be the moment because it's a bit
go on,
it involves a sort of talk of a sexual nature, and we're on a train and it's much quieter than I expected, but I'm still going to do it. What, nothing, but anyway, I don't watch much TV. I don't watch a great deal of TV.
See,
it's come through. I watch TV on a Friday through Gogglebox, so you know you get. So there's two things.
Not Saltburn. I'm not watching that.
Well, there were. I'm not. The Saltburn thing was a show on Gogglebox, but there were two things on Gogglebox. It wasn't last night's one. It was the week before.
I sound like Mary Whitehouse, but I'm not watching that. Yeah.
All right, we get the impression you're not gonna.
Never.
Did you didn't see the bath scene in Saltbox? I've been. So anyway,
of course, Nick tried to describe it. I'm not having it.
Anyway, so the two things that I only got a glimpse of via Gogglebox was like the program Gladiators has come back from like the 90s or whatever it was. And so Gladiators, and you know, there used to be a Scottish fella, Contenders ready, Gladiators ready. Well, I was on Gogglebox. Well, I turned around, I said, who they got doing that in the black and white striped umpires thing?
It's Mark.
So I let rip. I think it's Mark fucking Clamberg, the twat. You know, so I started shouting at the telly because he just annoyed, like, who does it like? So that annoyed me. I don't know why.
Is that the sexual thing?
No, no.
I thought Mark
And then the real hate of the week, well, bizarre of the week, was this morning, which I very rarely watch. The thing with like Philip Schofield, well, he's gone now, isn't he? Schofield and whoever it was, the other one. It come onto a segment. It was Valentine's Day. They had a sex toy review special. So this is, I'm imagining this, I'm watching it Friday night, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you hadn't put it on there?
Yeah, no, it was on Gogglebox. But guess who, I'd never heard of her before, but
who was reviewing?
It come on, Lizzie Cundy was the reviewer. So I Google Lizzie Cundy, she's Jason Cundy's, she's Jason Cundy's ex-wife.
If I, yeah. If I so she's Jason Cundy's wife, this podcast
so all I can say is, well, I'm going to say it, I hopefully won't offend anyone on the train, is that if you wanted to see someone trialing sex toys, you wouldn't pick Jason Cundy's ex-wife. She's like, no disrespect to her, she looks like she's had quite a lot of work done. If anyone's watched Griselda, I think if you Google Griselda, like the Colombian drug baron woman, but Google the real Griselda, not the actress who played in Netflix, imagine that lady. Trial and check toys. But it come on, and I've actually
safely say, I don't think I'd want to watch anyone review a sex toy on this
thing,
morning.
Yeah, so this was the thing. I've actually Googled it. It's on ITV. Look, this morning.
You got it. Safe.
So the top, it's the on top bookmark. Toys. It's not on the bookmark. It's £43.99. A rose clitoral suction stimulator. £43. What's that? What?
Shane, why does it say this page has been viewed 2,000 times?
Why? What's so anyway? So Jason Cundy's wife. Reviewing sex toys was my hate of the week, but then it's like, what's gone wrong with Whirlwind?
I can't even
cry
into a beer now. I'm literally going to.
You could just go.
Please stop showing me the page.
Go to Soho and buy like a basic dildo. Now they've got like
the page.
A rose, like a rose shaped bed thing that blows. Like it blows. Actually blows into your.
Right.
And the worst thing, you can reverse it and it become a man's sex toy.
Take care, everyone.